1H MPS Retro. I am the man who will stand on top of all of that is retro gaming, ZX Spectstar. And joining me this week is...
Hi, I'm Mount1976.
Yes, the dynamic duo is back again, and doing what we do best in reviewing over stuff. Do you think we can keep it down to less than 500 swear words this time, mate?
Well, I'm trying not to swear this time, because my dad had the last one and he moaned at me.
Yeah, that's... Oh, it's very true, yeah. We did go a little bit overboard on the subject, which comes through on that one. But like I say, we're back here, guys. We're going to give you another hour's worth of great entertainment, hopefully. Okay, so we'll start off the show. Like I say, we're on episode 18, coming up to the big 2-0. But who's going to be working on the episode 20? So, I'm not going to tell because I simply don't know. How about you, mate?
No, I haven't got a clue. I honestly don't know.
Yeah, I bet Andy nicks the honour of that one. Okie dokie then. So let's get round to the first topic. What have you been up to lately, mate?
Well, lately I've been mainly playing modern games, believe it or not. I know that's something we really can't, well, yeah, it totally defies the point, but...
I know, we can't be doing too much of that. It'll give us a bad name.
Well, I was playing Red Dead Redemption more than anything the week I was off work. I got really far on that, got really into it, and it's fantastic. Everything like Andy said it was. And then the last couple of days, as you know, I've been playing Duke Nukem Forever, which I suppose we can talk about that, because that's retro-related.
It is definitely retro-related, and if Blim's listening to this one, thank you for the ass kicking. We'll be back at you soon. But yeah, definitely Duke Nukem has definitely still got the old retro feel to the whole entire thing with this one, and it's just great to get the feel of an old school first person shooter map game, which just seems to be lost in this day and age.
And I've been playing Super Street Fighter 4, which is another one that's not retro related, but is sort of.
It still plays like the good old Street Fighter 2, but then it still comes to the point of that's how they designed it.
I think that's why it works, actually.
It is totally why it works. It's got some very nice, impressive visual 3D and things like this, but it still plays like good old-fashioned Street Fighter 2.
And that's how much of a sad bastard I am. I bought it for the 360, bought the arcade edition upgrade thing, and then bought it on the PC as well, just so I can play it on my arcade cabinet.
Oh, dear Lord. It's just because you want to take on the world on all formats, don't you?
That's right.
You're not happy with just dominating the Xbox thing. You want to kill everyone on the PC and all.
Well, to be fair, it's a lot better on the PC, but that's another story anyway.
Oh, that is true. So we won't get too much into all that one. And just go say myself, well, other than sharing the ass-kicking on Duke Nukem Forever, no, I've not been up to very much myself. I did mention on the last time on the other podcast I finished Portal, and I'm still playing that one again and again just because I just could not get enough of it. But it's all good. But other than that, there's been nothing really all that interesting coming from the retro scene on the modern-day side. They seem to have slowed down, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, and it's a shame. And the indie scene, which is usually a good source of old-style sort of games, seems to be booming as well at the moment, I've noticed as well. Especially with the introduction of Steam to the PlayStation services, the indie game scene is now really taking off, which is good for us retro-style gamers, because we can get a taste of the old-fashioned back onto a modern, up-to-date machine.
It's a shame I ain't got a PS3 anymore.
Well, you can still get the same games for your PC, and you should know that.
Yeah.
So just give and put that. We'll also give a shout out to now. So if any of you guys have your PC and you are on the Steam service, we'll be popping a little something inside the forum at a later date, so you can actually pick up and join us on maybe Duke Nukem Forever one day, and hopefully we can actually put an end to Blim's Reign of Terror. Now,
I think our usernames are the same on Steam, actually.
Yeah. Must be the same.
But like mine's not Mount1976, and I'm sure yours is exactly the same as ZX Spectstar as well.
Yeah, it is indeed ZX Spectstar. Anyway, so let's get a move on for this one. Unfortunately, we did have a bit of an empty week this week, so let's make a promise to do something interesting this week, mate. So next time we're teamed up, we could sit there and say, I took over the world or something like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, definitely sounds good to me. Anyway, so let's get back to what we're here for, the good old-fashioned games and things like this.
Right, the first game I'm going to choose is an absolute classic. It's one of the games I used to play when I was a little kid. It came out 1984 by Atari. Remember Atari? I think they originally created the video games with computer space. It's a game called Paperboy.
Oh, yes.
it's a game where you play a paperboy in America, and in America they deliver papers totally different to what we do. They just throw them at the doors and stuff. And you go up the road, it's 7 days a week, you know. It starts off on a Monday, and you've got to deliver papers to so many houses. And if you miss a house, they don't subscribe for the next day. Or if you run out of lives, it's game over instantly. But I thought at the time it was, well, completely different to any other game I've ever played. And I've got mixed opinions with the home conversions of it, which were by a decent company, actually Elite. I don't know whether you've seen their games before, Tony, but they was actually quite good.
Yeah, I do agree with you with Elite. They actually did do some great home conversions, and they also did one of the most racist boxing games ever, but we'll go back to that another time.
Yeah, which was a rip-off of
Punch-Out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but that was good. But we'll have to cover that at another point in this one. But going back to Paperboy, what other memories brings you back for that one?
Well, it was a game I played when I was about... Well, apparently it came out not in 84, but I'm sure I played it after that. I may have been that young, I don't know. It was one of the games, I think I said it on an older podcast, when I said, like, I didn't really go back to the retro games till I had the PlayStation. Even though how good the PlayStation was and everything, yeah? That's when I started getting the retro collections. I think the first ever one I bought, going slightly off the subject, was the Namco collection, because of Pac-Land, yeah? Because them days, you couldn't emulate things, you know, like, didn't have emulators and shit, did you, PCs, whatever.
They did, they were about, but they were basically in their state of infancy.
Yeah, I think MAME only originally emulated Pac-Man, but anyway, back to that. So, I had a Namco collection just for Pac-Land. Anyway, I found out later that there was an Atari collection that had Paperboy on it, and I bought it just for Paperboy because Paperboy was such a cool game. It was that cool. My nan could even like get to about Thursday on it. When I not really play games, but she was quite cool like that because she used to play like a few of them, and it was just a great game. Totally fun. Atari have tried remaking it on a Nintendo 64, and it was a total disaster. And I think Tengen done Paperboy 2, where you can even have Paper Girl on it, and it just didn't work. I don't know why. That was like scrolling, because on Paperboy it scrolls diagonally up the screen, you know, like on Zaxxon or a game like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, classic ones alongside
sort
that.
Sort of diagonally to the right sort of thing. And after you've done delivered all the papers through the well, you get halfway through the street, and then you get like a road crossing, and cars with like it looks like a blonde woman driving it, depending on what version you're playing it on. On the arcade, it's a blonde woman. And you get across the crossing, and you do the other half of the street, and at the end of it, you get onto, like, a BMX course, because at the time in the 80s, BMXs were, like, really cool, weren't they?
Oh, yeah, they were definitely all the rage, and then it was the last mad dash up to the end, as far as I go.
Yeah.
Now, I do remember the original arcade machine, actually, if I remember it, actually had a set of handlebars on it.
That's right, that's absolutely right.
So you actually had a proper sort of bicycle sort of control, and there was a button on the side just for throwing your papers.
Yeah, you sort of. I was thinking about this today actually. After listening to a video Steve Bramway done, and I'm going totally off the subject. When he's on about the Star Wars, what he'd like is a old fashioned Star Wars controller. They work on the same basis with the handlebars on that. You push them forward to go forward, and pulled them back to brake, and twist them left or right, and it had a button on either handlebar to throw the paper.
Yeah, so it makes it customizable for both left and right-handed players. Fantastic stuff. But it's true that it was a really, really good. It was addictive as well. Alongside that, but everybody sat there when you got frustrated with the game. Was the first thing that everyone started doing? You started delivering their papers through their windows.
Exactly. Or if they unsubscribed to you, put the window through the paper.
Oh yeah.
Because
exactly.
I mean, when I was a kid as well. I know it sounds sad, but that's why I got a paper round. But obviously, in this country, in England, we don't throw papers through people's fucking windows and that.
Yeah, that's called an arrestable offence, if I remember rightly, in this one. And then you've also got, I think, and there was things like lawnmowers laying around and things like this that were going out to run you over, wasn't
oh,
it?
Oh, yeah, loads of things. People breakdancing, which yeah. You don't get nowadays. Some of the home computer conversions, a Sinclair C5 trying to run you over. I used to have one of them. I know Andy don't believe me. I'm trying to get the pictures back off my art because my art's got all the pictures when I was a kid. But I had one of them years ago. Or on the arcade version, it's like a go-kart, a motorised go-kart that comes out.
Yeah, there's a remote control car as well, if I remember right.
Yeah, that's right.
Shoots out and but you do think this literally is like a remote control car having you over. Ah, it's just that on your bike will just crush it, wouldn't it?
And at the start of it, you can select easy, medium, or hard way.
And everyone used to sit there like, let's go easy because I just don't feel like doing the hard way.
I think the 8-bit versions didn't have that, did they? It was just played through, basically.
Yeah, I'm not too sure.
I'm sure Andy done an 8-bit Wars on it. I remember the Commodore and Spectrum come out at the same time, and then they waited God knows how long for the Amstrad. The Amstrad seemed to take forever, because my best mate had an Amstrad at the time, and he used to always go every week trying to find it at the shop, and they used to be, oh, it'll be out but next week, oh, it'll be out next week, like, sort of. And it came out eventually, had no sound on it whatsoever.
And then you sit there, like, I feel robbed. Very, very badly on that
one. I do
one.
Believe that won the 8-bit war, so when Andy done it.
Well, the Amstrad version.
Yeah. I don't know whether I agree with that, but...
No, I wouldn't agree with that anyway. I didn't like the Commodore 64 version, because I thought the graphics were just too fat and things like this. I did rate the Spectrum version better, despite the fact I only used what I call the old two-tone country for the colouring. I still think it played the best out of all of them. But like I say, we all have our opinion here.
Well, I know, if I say my favourite, it's going totally off like that, because I'd just had a Mega Drive, but that's not even a computer, is it?
Oh, that's not even competition, really, is it?
Nah, the Master System was pretty good as well. And believe it or not, both of them are done by US Gold on them.
Oh, dear Lord.
And they were better than Elites for a change. I think it's just that they had more time and better hardware.
I think so, but we can't go around giving US Gold that too much credit for what their work is.
No, not at all.
No, not at all. We're not allowed to. It's against the 1HMPS law. US Gold is not to be commended in any shape, way or form. But all about that, yeah, Paperboy was a great all-time classic. And now we shall mosey ourselves along. And what's your second game of choice?
Well, my second game is another game by Atari, believe it or not. 720 Degrees.
Skateboarding madness gone absolutely haywire. I could definitely put a remembrance to this game, especially the amount of tears that it brought to me just to exactly try to learn how to play this game with the control system. But tell us more, mate.
Well, in 720 Degrees, you're like a kid on a skateboard in some skate park. It's called Skate City or something. I'm not 100% sure. And basically, it's got loads of events around you that you can go to through this skate park. But you start off with so many tickets, depending on how much is allowed on the game or the arcade version. And if you don't get to the park on time, you'll get, like, killer Vs come after you and sting you to death, like, and it's game over, basically. And you get a timer before they come after you, and it says skate or die on the arcade machine.
Oh, yes. And then
and it's got some really good events, though. I mean, me and my mate Rich are playing that. Shit, it's got to be about in the year 2000 on it when we first got it on the emulator sort of thing on the PlayStation 1 on the arcade party pack or something. That's the reason I bought it for that game before I had a PC or anything, and that was the closest thing to having the arcade version.
Oh, indeed. And it was definitely an interesting game. For the time when it came out, there wasn't all that many, I don't think there was any sort of skateboarding type games.
No. I think the reason why skateboarding became cool, like, with kids in that generation was mainly because of Back to the Future and things like that.
Oh, yeah. There was definitely a major scale impression on that one for the side of it.
I mean, that was 1986, wasn't it?
Yes, indeed. It was definitely around that time. But it's my impression is that I always got thrown off by the control system when I first started playing that game, things like this. It took me such a long time.
Well, it had sort of like a bizarre thing on the arcade, because instead of the joystick going up, down, or left and right, the joystick was always forced off, like, so it'd only go in circular motions.
Yeah, and it was a bit like Midnight Resistance's gun control.
Yeah, basically. In a way. Slightly, yeah.
Yeah, and then you just press the button and start skating along.
Yeah, it's one to kick or one to jump on the arcade version. Now, that's another Game Boy US Gold as well. I've only ever played the Commodore 64 version, so I can't comment on the Spectrum or the Amstrad, and I haven't played it for like 20-odd years. But I was always impressed with it, believe it or not.
Oh, no.
I always thought the Commodore 64 version was really good. Even after I played it on like that thing on the PlayStation 1, I was totally like, I thought, yeah, that's quite good. The music was good and everything. Obviously, nowhere near as good as the arcade. US Gold even included the soundtrack on the other side of the tape, you know.
It was just like so you did without run. Left out.
So you can, like, abuse yourself by listening to how good it could have been. But I do think the Commodore did try and do a good rendition of it, and probably one of the, you know, for a US Gold game, quite good. Quite impressive.
We're getting into a bad habit here. We must stop commending US Gold. It's not on. Oh, so perhaps they may not be just as bad as what we made them out to be. No, I'm not accepting that. Sorry. Sorry, I will never accept that. But all in all, I don't actually remember playing any of the home versions of 720. I think it wasn't until I played it in MAME. Where I actually got my first good go on it, and it used the same dodgy voice effects which they use in all the Atari games. Gauntlet used it, Zybots used it.
Yeah, it's the same sound chip, ain't it? I don't know what it's called, but exactly the same, totally the same.
Yeah, and as I say, for example, was it Escape from the Planet of the Robot Monsters that used it as well? And they did use it for a good amount of years.
Yeah, definitely. I think they used the same hardware to the whole thing, a System 3 or something.
Yeah, so I'm not sure when that hardware actually went out of date, but all in all, it proved quite good for them, and it definitely kept their Game Boys alive, because I did notice they did have that for the time that slightly bit better quality in the graphics department than some of the other titles that were coming out at the time.
Well, they'd done Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom on the same hardware, and that was superb as well.
Yeah, and then you sit there and you look at the NES version of that, and you're like, oh dear God.
I've never seen that. I've seen the 8-bit versions. Well, actually, I'm going to make myself sound bad. I thought at the time that the US Gold version of that was quite good as well.
I think we're going to need to replay some of this stuff. We're wrong. We're talking. We're all drunk. this isn't happening. You've switched on to the wrong podcast. But all in all, yes, 720 was, for its time, was the most unique skateboarding game out there. I don't think I saw another skateboarding game till quite literally when Sega bought their Top Skater one out.
That was really good.
Yeah, where you actually had the skateboard. But other than that, looks like skateboarding just went into the deepest reaches of hell and never came back. But let's jiggle along, and we'll now go for my game of choices. My first one I will be going with is the old Mega Drive SNES unprecedented little classic called Bob. Basically along the line, he's basically a sort of teenage robot who's basically on his way out to go meet his date and things like this. And your typical sort of thing is dad's moaning him, come back with the space car in one piece and blah blah blah, and typical sort of storyline happening. Guess what happens? He crashes the car on the middle of a planet of an unenchanted planet. And now he's got to find his all his way back home again, where he's definitely not going to be in for the high jump when he gets there. All in all, though, Bob in itself was actually a really, really underappreciated little platformer stroke shooting game, as what it was. There was a good other odds and ends for things. I think you had one of the later Contra games was out and about, and all sorts of odds and ends like this. But the good thing that made Bob special and unique was you had at least five or six different guns at your disposal once you picked up the ammunition from him. And he had little sort of upgrades he can do on himself. If you fall down a pit with acid in and things like this, you need to go up, you've got a trampoline, you can spring yourself back out again. There's a little sort of beanie hat you can stick on your head, which gives you the old helicopter sort of effect. There's a shield which you can use and things like this. And they could all be used quite nicely to get through each stage of the game. And of course, the weapons, because it goes from a homing missile to a sort of electric gun. The top weapon is basically like a big sonic wave blast, which practically annihilated anything that got in its way. But the other side to the along on it is it was a fun, pleasant little thing to do. The animation frames on Bob himself was fantastic. Whenever he used to die, he'd either explode or he'll melt, or he'll sit there, or he'll just turn into a whole pile of ashes. and things like that, and come up with some sort of witty little worm comment, which was good for the night, things like bodacious or totally tubular or something like that. Yeah, and I say there's three great big worlds to go through, and each of the worlds is split into two basically different types of levels. One is a sort of mechanical futurist style, and then one is a kind of organic sort of level which you go through, and they alternate as you're going through. And then of course on the way through you've got your good old boss sort of encounter, and there's about seven or eight of them through the whole game as it goes through. And then there's also special timed levels as well, where basically you're in a very fast car and you have to get to the exits before the timer ticks out. And you have to go around, you have to navigate the obstacles while keeping your health up at the same time. Yeah, the first one's a nice introduction, but trust me, by the time you get to the last one in that sort of area, things like this, oh, you're gagging for time and it's just an absolute nightmare to get through. But all in all, it got okay reviews in the magazines. But myself on the personal basis, I think it really, really got put down by these guys and really deserved to have that little bit more appreciation. And surprise, surprise, it was done by Electronic Arts.
Well, they used to make some really good games originally when Trip Hawkins used to own it.
Indeed, and it was all good there. Back in the days, because you had that, they also did at the same time was Rollo to the Rescue, which I reviewed over as well. Yeah. And again, that was another one of their little underrated classics.
And Andy done the Haunting as well. And it was like on something else I watched. I'm not sure what it was. But I don't know why they don't do another Road Rash.
Yeah, that's the same thing. I know for a fact Guru Larry wants another Road Rash game. Yeah. I do believe that there is actually a big demand for a revisit on Road Rash. Even if they just did it not even as a full release, just as a nice little simple game they could stick on the Xbox Live, Steam...
Exactly.
And just like for a fiver and put multiplayer on it and things like that. Trust me, people would buy it.
They miss so many opportunities, don't they, these companies?
They do. Because it's purely and simply down to the fact that they just don't listen to the people.
No, that's what's totally wrong with gaming nowadays, and what really like irritates me as well. I mean, I've never played that Bob game, but if people like it, it wouldn't be that hard for them to... you know, update something and make it, like we were saying about the Konami arcade games ages ago and things like that. They've got so many games they could just slightly update and I'd buy them.
Yeah, I'd quite happily buy them, things like that. If they actually read, I know you can get Old Streets of Rage 1, 2 and 3 on them on Steam and all the other sort of things, but I'd want to sit there and do some nice HD graphics and things like that, or at least sit there and pay the guys who did Streets of Rage Remake.
Yeah, definitely.
And get theirs that done up and properly. Those guys just didn't get enough respect for the job they did, especially the disrespect they got from Sega at the end of it. So it's like Sega basically just sat there and watched, and they just turned around and thought, oh no, that's better than our game, and then they pulled the plug on it. We will never forgive you, Sega, for that one. And like I say, you now make games which involve pissing on a toilet.
I've seen that video.
Exactly.
That's ridiculous, ain't it?
It's true. So we all know where Sega's heading in probably in the next few years if they don't pull their thumbs out their ass. But we'll now move on because we'll be coming back to somebody with Sega in a moment. And we'll now go on to my second game.
And what's that then, mate?
And for this, I have chosen a kind of strategy game classic on the PC and also for the console. And that's Syndicate. Actually the second one in the series, because it was Syndicate, then Syndicate Wars. But Syndicate was a very nice little thing. It was kind of a time where strategy gaming was getting quite popular for the time. And it was basically the kind of game which introduced the sort of RTS element to it, but to very small amounts of people. You were basically, each of your missions, you had a small group of four killer cyborgs at your disposal. Now, I'll step back for a moment. I'll give the basic explanation. Basically, you become the head of one of these big syndicates that's basically vying for control of the world for this one. And just by generally going around doing all sorts of nasty stuff, including getting sniping off people in the opposition and just generally being an all-round bastard to all the others. And now each mission which you'll come across that you'll sit there, you may need to steal something, you may need to take certain people out. So you'll sit there, you'll gear up your cyborgs, you give them their guns and weapons and basically sit there and say, right, go do your job. And then that's where you go into the map phase and you go and do it. While you're outside the map phase and things like this, you've got your research department where you can sit there, you can build better arms, better legs, better bodies for your cyborgs so they can withstand more punishment, they can run faster, and it all comes through there. And as each of the missions you clear and you take control of the city, you can determine how hard you're going to tax these people. So if you tax them at the right level, they'll be sit there, they'll be happy with you and things like this. If you tax them too high, there's going to be problems, and then you're going to need to go quell riots and all sorts of things like this. And just generally half a ton of shit you don't want to deal with when you're a big megalomaniac. So then on the in-between, so we go back to each of the individual missions. So you kit out your cyborgs, and they have all sorts of various shotguns, machine guns, and all other odds and ends are all available to him for this one. You even get an item which is called the Persuadatron, which you can walk over to people who are just walking down the street and basically just get them to follow you around. So basically you can make a human shield out of them if you wanted to. But it was a very, very, very good little game. It was a breath of fresh air. Games afterwards from that evolved things like Commandos.
I've played that.
Yeah, if you play Commandos, then you could basically get a nice kind of grasp onto what Syndicate is like.
Yeah, kind of like the primitive thing, sort of like that, I suppose, is like, I'm trying to think what it's called. Glenn was on about it. Cannon fodder, how that works, where you, it's a sort of click, point and click sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it goes the same sort of way. It can be compared to cannon fodder, yes, things like that. But like I say, cannon fodder didn't have the management sort of thing.
No.
And they didn't have the set tasks of what you need to do in your mission.
What year did it come out?
I think it came out around 96, or somewhere around then. So it's quite an old game. And again, that was actually done by Bullfrog, which at the time was a division again of Electronic Arts.
Yeah.
And Bullfrog also turned around. They also did Theme Park. They did Theme Hospital. And before they stuffed it, they did Dungeon Keeper.
Yeah.
As part of their classic ones, which I can remember. And again, this is a time where Electronic Arts didn't have rein on these companies, and they deliberately went around ruining people's games. But Bullfrog, I think, eventually disbanded. I think they created a game called Black and White or something like that. Then shortly after that, they kind of dispersed, and then we never saw them again. But Syndicate did spawn an expansion pack as well called the American Revolution. And they advertise it, oh, this is one of the hardest expansion packs that ever came out. So I'm like thinking, oh, it can't be too hard, things like this. Start the first mission, you've got precisely 5 seconds to move or you get the shit absolutely blown the crap out of you. And I'm just like sitting there like, ah. you literally have around 5 seconds to get your cyborgs out of the way or it's game over from the square one. Yes, America has gone into revolution and they're going into the good habit of kicking the hell out of you. So... yeah, the expansion pack was hard, very hard. Then again, it did spawn the sequel, Syndicate Wars, which again was more of the same, better graphics, and also introduced a new faction into it. So not only have you got the Syndicates being a pain in the ass, you also have a Church of the New Epigee, who are also giving you grief and all. So it's great when religious fanatics come after your rear end, it's just not good on your behalf. So that's a nice roundup. So I think we've had four good little... things there, and like I say, guys, these games are available. Like I say, fire up your emulators and things like this. Post a little something in the comments. Say, yeah, I checked that game out. I thought it was pretty good, or I checked that game out and it was shit, and you're full of crap. Hey, doesn't bother me, innit?
No, that's right.
But like I say, we love your opinions here, guys. We really do. Now, let's move on to the topic of the month, and I've decided upon this one for us, matey, as we know.
Yeah.
We all know that coming round is our certain Little Blue Hedgehog's 20th anniversary.
Oh, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Indeed, Mr. Sonic the Hedgehog, or as one of my mates called him, Sonic the Blue Spiny Ass Fleabag. just don't ask me why. The other thing I got heard him refer to is Sonic the Baseball Bat. So this is our little section we're now, and we will now look into what the hell happened to Sonic the Hedgehog.
100% sure. I was still at school. Yeah, I got it for Christmas. It came with Sonic the Hedgehog, so that's the first game I ever played on it. And my friend's one, he had Altered Beast on it. And I personally think Sonic the Hedgehog was a lot better than Altered Beast. But myself, while it was very impressive, very quick, yeah, it was a good game. It's basically Sega trying to rip off Mario.
It was at the time, because if you look at the point of then, Sega's mascot was basically Alex the Kid.
Jughead twat.
Yeah.
I can't stand Alex the Kid. Honestly, no. I always thought they should have done more with Wonder Boy, myself personally, but then again, I like Pac-Land, so what do I know?
So he all goes that way. So then Sega said more along, and they introduced our little blue spiny hero, Sonic the Hedgehog, came into it. And like I say, and then soon his game was the one that was packed into every Mega Drive that got released.
And Master System.
And the Master System as well. And his name spread, and he became Sega's new mascot. And to say his takeover of the being the head of Sega's department was really good, and it was a nice development. Sonic the Hedgehog was a great game, and it had the speed as well, but it also had the right pace. The enemy placements in them were perfect, so you could keep a nice speed, you could go fast all the time, and once you learn the layouts and things like this, you know when the enemies are coming and things like this, so you can then jump at the right corners, and you'll either dodge them, or you'll hit them in the right space, and you won't slow the game down.
You know what I like the most out of that? The level where you go underwater, I think it's the second off. I'm sure it's Labyrinth Zone.
It's the fourth one. The Labyrinth Zone, it's the fourth one.
Is it the fourth one? Yeah. It's been that long since I've played it. But yeah, it's been about 20 years or something since I've played Sonic the Hedgehog on the Mega Drive. And how it sort of, the time runs out, and you get how it counts down, and then it drowns if you don't get up. And it really panics you to get back up out of water.
It does with the little tune that gets faster and faster and faster.
I can't do effects like Glenn, as I said before.
But it was good. But that was the also another good side to it, because that brought the pace down and added a carefulness into it as well.
Yeah.
Where you had to use it very wisely. And then once you got back into the Starlight Zone and the Scrap Ray Zone, you were back at full speed again, and then kicking off. Now coming off the rise and high, Sonic was now an enjoyable thing. Of course, there was going to be a sequel, and then along comes Sonic 2.
Now, myself, I think Sonic 2 was a really good sequel. I really liked that. I didn't like Alex the Fox Prowler, or whatever his name is. Tails, wasn't it? He was like a complete dick. Like, he got in the way most of the time, and he's just irritating me, basically. It was a great game, and Sega sort of said how it was two-player. It weren't two-player. It was only like two-player on silly levels or something. You couldn't play the whole game like co-op two-player, could you?
No, you could. You was able to take control of Tails, but then you wasn't able to actually keep him with you. Yeah, you could use him to get rid of the odd enemy, or to chuck him in the way of, say to your mate, say, hey, he might hit me. Go chuck yourself in there and get hit while I sneak past. But they could have easily done it split screen on the multiplayer. If you look at Toe Jam and all the way that splits into two screens when they separate away. And
I mean, it had the split screen, but like a couple of levels or something, not a proper game.
Yeah, on the race mode and things like this. So why couldn't they do that on the single player game?
Anyway, the third one, myself personally, graphically it's good, but I've never got into it.
No, it was a different. They put quite a bit of extra challenge into it as well, and Sonic finally gained himself a new attack where he can actually now kind of jump twice.
I didn't know.
Yeah, there's real imaginative Sega.
And then you got Sonic and Knuckles. Never played it.
Never made it. Well, it's,
so, again, I can't comment on that, really.
Well, again, with Sonic & Knuckles, we're borderlining on the same sort of territory here. We're playing the same thing again and things like that. But the special thing with the Sonic & Knuckles cartridge, which was the first, and which I don't believe they ever did again, was the fact you was able to plug Sonic 3 in and Sonic 2.
Yeah, and you then get things off that, can't you?
Yeah, and you was actually able to play Sonic 2 and Sonic 3 as Knuckles.
Yeah, that's right.
So that was a good thing in this one. If you actually plug Sonic 1 in, it basically told you bollocks.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it wouldn't work. But what it did give you in exchange was, you know the sphere ball bonus level?
Yeah.
And it gave you about 1,000 of them, play.
Oh,
right. And believe me, if you got the patience to go through all that lot, then damn. but it was all good.
Then you got Sonic CD.
I'm going to talk about Sonic CD. On this one. Let's say, when you look at Sonic CD at first, you're like thinking, well, it just looks like any other standard sort of Sonic the Hedgehog game. What makes this one so special? What makes this one special is not only have you got your normal restart posts going through, but you also had other certain posts, one which was past and one which was future. Now, if you hit these posts when you're running at full speed, you change the layout of the level when you continue. So it's like, as I say, possibly you'll see once where you'll see rings which you can't access. But then, say if you hit a future post, the level layout may change and you can now access this one. And also, going from past to future and things like this will also reflect how you see the final level in the game and things like this. And then will also change your ending. So there was a way of doing this where you'd have to think tactically and when you need to hit the posts at the right time to get the best ending. And that's what made Sonic CD very special. And it is something they never did again.
I never knew that myself.
Yeah, I found that out recently.
I never played it properly on the emulator. I mean, I played the first couple of levels and I just thought, it's nothing special. Like,
yeah, you went past the post thinking, like, what's that all about?
Yeah.
That's all good. And then coming alongside that, of course, Sonic CD being out, this one, Sonic Knuckles come through, the 32X had come out, and then you had Knuckles Chaotix.
Never played that one.
Oh, this is where it was basically drawn upon the end of the 2D era for Sonic. Knuckles Chaotix, basically no Sonic in it. You got Knuckles, which also introduced the Chaotix team, who then reappeared during Sonic Heroes. Alongside that, and basically you're running along, and they're two connected by this sort of ring. And then every time you sit there, you suddenly get stopped because one of them stops moving and you just get catapulted forward and backwards. And then you had to learn another way where you had to sit there and you had to throw your mate up in the air to get him to go anywhere. And it just generally wasn't very good. It wasn't a good concept on the whole sort of thing. If they would have done it again where the ring wasn't connecting you, you'd have a great game. But unfortunately, it got very confusing. The level layouts were just awkward and things like this. And to me, it just didn't work. Now, coming down from there, Sonic didn't really have a game on the Saturn, if I remember rightly.
Well, there was one, but they never released it, and I've only seen it on like YouTubers demos and that. Because apparently, I don't know the guy's name. One of the main ones at Sega said he'd quit if they did release it. It was using the 8 game engine that Knights used. I don't know if you played Knights.
Yeah, I played Knights on that one.
Yeah, and the guy from Sega, who I think he's some sort of person who created Sonic. Can't pronounce his name, you know, I'm terrible at Japanese names.
Mm.
But he said, yeah, if you release that, I'll just quit. So they didn't, basically. They didn't. And it's only on test footage or something.
Of the whole game.
They were trying to make it totally 3D, and it probably wouldn't have worked, to be fair. He was probably totally right.
Yeah. And then again, Sonic then didn't resurface. There was some more Sonic games on the way through. There was this crappy Sonic racing game called Sonic R.
That was appalling.
That was really, really bad. The Game Gear had some nice little Sonic games. The Master System had some nice Sonic games alongside that, just to keep them all interesting, things like that. And then Sonic didn't make another massive reappearance until the Dreamcast, and with the appearance of Sonic Adventure 1 and 2.
Well, I weren't a fan of them. Andy accidentally downloaded Sonic Adventure instead of, I think, the original Sonic or some Sonic game on the Xbox Live. And the reason I didn't like Sonic Adventure, I just thought it controlled really bad, and there weren't really that much a game to it.
There was quite a bit. There was quite a
There's
bit.
There's a lot of it where it's just bollocks, where you know, the actual bits that you play are good, but then there's bits where you're like running around the town and that. And stupid stuff. I had it on a PC as well.
Yeah, and these things were the town area and things like that. They were too big. There wasn't any really good pointers to it. But when it came down to the levels and things like this, it worked. The levels were nice. They worked in the 3D.
Maybe I didn't give it time, or I don't know. And the main thing I didn't like. You ever seen the cartoon?
Which one?
Oh god. Well, it's like Steve Benway was saying, Sonic's evolved from how he used to be. He used to be like small, fat body, little legs and that. And then he's like lanky, really thin, and totally different, like in the cartoon. He's got this like really gay voice when he talks. And Andy was saying, which I do agree with Andy, he's supposed to be a little like cute blue hedgehog. What did you expect him to sound like? Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, fuck your Dr. Robotnik. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I will ruin you, Dr. Robotnik. And it's all good. And you wonder why Sonic's not actually not getting depressed. All he's got is this rolling sort of attack that sucks balls. And there's like
and the speed up one as well, yeah.
Yeah, there's like Tails can fly, Knuckles can punch through anything, and just about everyone else has got a better power up than me. And you wonder why he isn't stressed and depressed. But all in all, like I say, there was some things in Sonic Adventure, things like the fishing game with Big the Cat, there weren't real no need for that. Alongside that, and possibly the Eggman things that were where you won the egg robots, E-102 Gamma or whatever his bloody name was. Wasn't really too much on this one. But then when they released Sonic Adventure 2,
yeah,
they kind of combined all of the elements into two storylines. And like I say, and you could choose between the storyline between the good guys and the bad guys. But what they smartly did, to get to the final chapter of the story, you have to do it with both sides. And then what happens is in this final chapter is basically both sides of the story lead up to them all coming together. Because basically there's a very large satellite up in, or space station that's up in the orbit, which Robotnik's father built.
Oh, right.
And things like this. And unfortunately, it's now dropping through the atmosphere. And this is the only one time in history where you've actually seen Robotnik having to swallow his pride and actually sit down and ask Sonic to help him. To stop this thing crashing into the Earth. Alongside that, and like I said, the final mission is the whole lot of them. You control all six characters, and as they're all dashing all over the station to try and stop this whole thing going wrong. And I thought it was a great finale to the whole sort of thing. The only downside to it introduced that retard Shadow the Hedgehog.
Oh God, and he had his separate game as well, and that was.
Oh, that's interesting. This is to what my own honest opinion. After Sonic Adventure 2, they released further Sonic games. Sonic and the Magic Rings wasn't bad. Sonic Unleashed, oh dear God.
And then you got Sonic the Hedgehog on the 360 or PS3.
PS3, and that didn't work.
The demo, it doesn't work. Yeah, it does not work.
Yeah.
I've never played the full game, but the demo was total shit, so I didn't bother.
Yeah. And then there was another one called Sonic Colors, not played, but I've heard it's actually not all that bad. The Wii seemed to have got the better Sonic games out of the lot.
And that's something like I was saying ages ago to my mate. You'd never expect a Sega game on a Nintendo.
Yeah, you think about this. Back in the days when we were younger.
Yeah. Rivals, weren't
they? They were rivals, and we wouldn't even dream of seeing Sonic the Hedgehog on a Nintendo machine.
I always personally myself preferred Sega than Nintendo.
Yeah, and we all sat there, and we must have sat in school and said, it'll never happen. It will never happen, and things like this. And now we're 20 years older, we're sitting there, it's like, God damn it, I'm playing Sonic the Hedgehog on Nintendo. and you just sit there in awe thinking, it's like, this is happening.
And they even had a Sonic game on a Neo Geo as well, Neo Geo Pocket.
Yeah, the Pocket one and things like this, which was a good little platformer, run off the basics. But alas, poor Sonic, as the years went by, he kind of got abused by Sega. And like I think again, my friend was in Yahtzee, he basically said that people in the Sega office have got a dartboard with all sorts of stupid shit on it, and they just throw darts at what they're going to make the next Sonic game into.
Well, I'm trying to think. The latest one, it's a 20-something years anniversary. I think it might be 20 years anniversary.
Yep, it's Sonic's 20th.
It's on the 360 and that, and like I was saying to Andy, while it's really good, it's nothing new. It's just like, same as the Mega Drive one, just done in better graphics.
In better graphics.
Might sound good in some ways, it just doesn't work.
It doesn't, but then again, you've actually got the two gameplay modes on it as well.
Yeah.
And if you've actually seen the trailer as well, they've actually modelled both versions of Sonic. They've got his new streamlined one, which they use in Sonic Adventure, things like that. Yeah, they've also remodelled his old short original dumpy version as well.
Yeah, that's what he is. It's like having Mario, whereas Mario's not fat and small, whereas more like Luigi, it just won't work, would it?
It just wouldn't work. But this is a good thing. You can play the game in two modes. You can either play it in Sonic Adventure Star mode, where you're dashing through the 3D, and you'll have the newer Sonic on there. Or you can play it good old-fashioned 2D Sonic the Hedgehog mode, and the version you see is the old version of him, which he was in the original.
Yeah, which is better, I personally think.
Which I do feel is a bit as well. So I do hoping when this does get out, it will. I'm hoping that this will hold a good lot of nostalgia factor to it as well, and bring back the good old fashioned Sonic that we knew of in the day, and bring this little dude has been used and abused, and for me to what I say, and I hope you agree with this one. We need to bring the old Sonic the Hedgehog back and give him back his glory.
Definitely, mate. Definitely.
As I say, it's like for all us people over 30 years old. God damn it. Bring us back the Sonic the Hedgehog we loved, and I say, and somehow exterminate this newer sort of one, and possibly all his friends that they've come along the way. Because seriously, if I don't know anybody who turns around and says that, oh, Shadow the Hedgehog's a good character. No, I want to tear his head off. he's a crap character, and just sit there, and there's like who else did that? They had Rouge the Bat, and I'm like, what the hell is that? It's like even Knuckles, he's got to a point. It's like, yeah, I liked him when he didn't talk and when he was being a nasty little piece of work. But now he's sitting there talking and things like this.
It's
just
bollocks, basically.
It is. I just want to sit there, get those big knuckles, and just shove up his rear end. that's just the way I feel about it. All these unnecessary characters and things like that. Even Tails as well. I'm sorry. I never liked him from day one, and he just made doing Sonic the Hedgehog 3 cheap. And oh no. Get rid of all those people. We don't need them. All you need is just how it was at the start. Sonic, Robotnik, boom.
Yeah, definitely.
And we're back on this one. So, Sega, if you're listening, and I do hope you are, take note. If not, we're probably going to come blow Sega headquarters up or something like that. Anyway. So, that's all we've got on our subject of the month there. Okay, so, what shall we move on to now? Ooh, goody goody. I think it's time to go to the Quizmaster section. And guess who's on the firing line today?
That would be me.
Indeed it is. Now, I've tried to think up of some not so straight questions here, but in a way they kind of are straight here. Right. And so we're going to go through your five questions here. Let's see. I think you got four last time, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, well let's...
I think Glenn's got the least score so far.
Yeah, I think he's still sitting on one. I think even dear old Asperger beat him to it as well. So, but I have yet to be tested, but I know far too well Andy's going to get me somewhere down the line. Okie dokie. So we'll start off with mine here. Right, okay, then. So we'll go from question one.
Okay.
Yeah, again, I'll make these easy on us because they're multiple choice again. Okay. Right. Which Nintendo character do you think best fits this description? A pink ball that always seems to be too bloody happy, but has a strange ability to suck up everything like a vacuum cleaner and convert bad guys into new powers.
Right.
Is it A, Toad? B, Kirby? C, Birdo? Or D, Pit?
It's B, Kirby.
Kirby, you sure about that?
Yes.
Okie dokie. Question two. How many Pokemon were there, but you had to catch, in the original Pokemon Red and Blue games on the Game Boy?
I ain't got a clue.
Okay, is it A, 149, B, 150, C, 151, or D, 152?
I'll go for A, because I don't know, but I'll just do it anyway.
Okie dokes, 149. Okay. In the original Duke Nukem 2 on the PC, what was the name of Duke's autobiography? Was it A, Why I'm So Great? B, How I'm So Great? C, If I Was So Great? Or D, Why All the Chicks Like Me?
D.
D. You got to remember, you might have seen this while you're playing Duke Nukem Forever as well, because they use it there too.
I don't know. I haven't noticed that.
So do your final answer.
Yes.
Okay. Question four. What was so familiar about the soldiers on the cover of the Grisor game?
Ah, that's easy.
As in, is it A, nothing? B, who cares, the home editions were shit? C, don't those guys look like Arnie and Stallone? Or D, the cover art on this version was so good that they wanted it on the home system covers?
That's a tricky, trick one, ain't it?
No.
Because they do look like Lance is like Stallone and Bill is like Schwarzenegger, and they did use the ocean one on the NES versions.
So what's your answer going to be? Is it A, B, C or D?
Run through the last two again, please.
Right. C is, don't those guys look like Arnie and Stallone? Or yeah. D, the cover art on the NES version was so good they wanted it on the home system covers?
I'll say the last one.
D.
Yeah.
Sure that one? Okay, and the final question. How many robot masters were there on Mega Man 2? Is it A, 4, B, 6, C, 7, or D, 8?
8.
8, D. Okay, you want to know how well you did?
Yeah, if...
Okay, right. Your answer to question number one, you said, was Kirby.
Yeah.
And yes, you're correct. It was that annoying little pink ball that my son loves so much.
I know that one. I don't know why, because I've never played the game or anything, but I just knew it.
Okie dokie. So, and question two, how many Pokemon were there on the original Bloom?
Didn't have a clue. Train?
You said A, 149. Nope, there was 151.
I didn't know that. I've never been into Pokemon.
Ah, it's always a good little game. Okay, question three. What was the name of Duke Nukem's autobiography?
I didn't know that neither.
It was A, Why I'm So Great.
What did I say?
You said D, what all the chicks like me. Okay, four. What was so familiar about those soldiers on the cover of the Grisor game? And you said D. Are you sticking to that answer?
No, I'll say it's like Schwarzenegger and Stallone.
I'll let you off with one. Yes, it's correct.
Because I did say it could have been either of the two, because both are correct answers, in a way.
No,
they did do that. The ocean one, Nintendo said, Konami and Nintendo said, yes, we'll have that.
Yeah, exactly. But I said the cover art on the NES version was so good they wanted it on the home system. Yeah, it so was that's the other way around.
Tricky, weren't it?
Yep.
That was a trick question.
Yeah, it was the home system cover that was so good that the NES version got it. So I nearly had you on that one.
But I know it was like Schwarzenegger and Predator, weren't it? Exactly the same.
Stallone and Rambo.
Who's Bill, I think. Lance is the other one.
It's one of two. Okay, and the final one. How many Robot Masters were there in Mega Man 2? You said?
Didn't have a clue, basically.
You guessed the 8, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yep. And hey, guess what? You was correct.
That's a good guess.
Oh, it's all good there, mate. Right, so how many is that? So that's 1, 2, 3 out of 5 that time, mate. If you would have stuck to your answer, it would have only been 2.
I'm glad I didn't, then.
It's all good on that one. Okie dokies. Right, so we need to move along. And now we're going to go on to... Let's have a look. We're going to go on to the winner of the signed photograph of the Oliver twins.
Right.
Yay. So, like I say, we have had a few of the guys who did enter the competition. And basically, whoever entered this competition here, I have your names in my hands. So this is going to come down to basically Potty Boy with his Galactic Dizzy. And let's have a look. Let's have a look at that cover there. That actually looks really quite good for what he's done. Is it now? I could imagine Dizzy in space, because it's the only thing he really hasn't done. What do you reckon?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm not someone who knows much about the Dizzy games, but we're not allowed to enter, are we? So
no, we wasn't.
But I had a stupid idea of having Dizzy in Pac-Land.
Dizzy in Pac-Land? Well, a crossover game. My idea was Street Fighter versus Dizzy, because the fact I just want to see Ryu Dragon punch Dizzy, then Dizzy come back and give him a good walloping with whatever's there. So we have that one. On that one, let's see, Asperger's, with his Dizzy and the Golden Harp of Awakening. That's a fantastic job there, Will. But you didn't do the boxing gloves properly on Dizzy's arms. It just sticks. Oh dear. We'll have a look at Andy's entry as well, with Dizzy and the Magic Shoes. You know what, I'm going to pick on Andy for this one, because he didn't use the fill on the paint box properly. They're still white on it. But that's just me and M thing. So, like I say, so currently Asperger and Potty Potty, and I'm just going around. See, we have another entry here, which is hurry up. Right. And, of course, TL also entered, so it's a choice between the three. And he also did Dizzy Kart. Well, yeah, I could imagine a Dizzy sort of racing game, couldn't you?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and just have customised cars to suit each of the ones, things like that. And then you just have Dozy falling asleep at the wheel and crashing all the time. It's okay. So, right. In my hand, I have the three names. We're just going through now. Right. I'm going to pick one at random. Coming out of my hand now. And the winner of the signed autograph goes to Potty Boy. So, congratulations there, buddy.
Yeah, well done.
Right, so you've been the first of our great winners for the site, and the first one to win a prize from the site. Hopefully, dear Andy's going to have another prize for us soon. But we'll get in contact with you, get you some details, and we'll get that signed photograph off to you as soon as we can.
Excellent, well done.
Excellent. Let's see, we've got enough time. Yeah, we'll go for one more on this one. Let's have a quick step into the Q&A section. Shall I start on this one?
Okay, Glenn 883100 has got two questions for us. Yeah.
Yep. Let's go for it.
What do you eat for breakfast in the morning?
That's quite simple for me. I eat regret, sorrow, misery. I'm a parking attendant. It's everything I give out and I get back every morning. No, for me it's a nice bowl of cornflakes. That'll do me nicely.
Cornflakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always have muesli.
Muesli. Oh,
yeah. It's about the only healthy thing I eat.
Good call, sir. I must try that myself.
I make records, it's like fucking hamster food.
Nah, it doesn't know what's good for him and things like that. You know what I always buy if I have music? I always buy an extra bag of raisins to throw in it as well. Just to
make sure God, that's the thing I don't like about them. My sister told me when I was a kid, they're like squash flies. And it's put me off. I'll pick them bits out and give them to rats or something.
No, trust me, they taste a lot better than squash flies. So, and the second one here. Yeah, we'll go for this one. Okay, well, I'll jump in quickly. Asperger's turns around and says, who would win a fight between Desperate Dan and Popeye? Personally, I reckon give Desperate Dan a cow pie and he'd whoop Popeye's ass under spinach any day of the week.
I don't know. Oh, it's like Popeye, I bet myself.
Oh, it's coming.
When he has his thing. Well, I didn't like the film, though. That was diabolical. But anyway, moving on.
Moving on, yeah. Okay. So I think we'll call that a tie.
Yeah.
But mind you, it comes to the point, a fight between Desperate Dan and Popeye, the winner would be me. And let's see. Oh, Andy's got a few in here.
Right, and his first one is, if you had to go to a cosplay expo, what character would you dress up as?
Ooh, me, Sephiroth from Final Fantasy VII. Definitely.
Me, Cam from Street Fighter.
Ah, nice choice. We go fishing. What actress would you like to have a good snogging session with? Anne Hathaway, all the way.
Who's that?
She was in Ella Enchanted. She's also going to be the next Catwoman.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, honestly, it's like when I interviewed Steve Benway, he didn't know who that thing he was. I can't think of her name. The one that's in Transformers.
Oh, what's her name? Megan Fox.
Yeah, he didn't know who she was.
Yeah, you know, what are you talking about? Most people still don't know who she is.
Yeah. That's a hard one. I don't know, actually. Probably, this is going to make you sound like a sad bastard, the bird who plays Rachel in Friends.
Oh, Jennifer, no. You know something, mate? I would totally agree with you. Jennifer Aniston.
I think Brad Pitt's a dick for dropping her for that one with the lips.
Oh, definitely on that one. Jennifer Aniston. Thank you
even
very much.
With her original nose lock she had in Leprechaun.
Leprechaun, things like that, yeah. She looked, especially in Friends. Mwah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Was it Jennifer Aniston, we salute you. Hotness on legs.
Yeah, that's
right. And we'll go for the last one on the community Q&A. And from our winner from the competition, Mr. Potty Boy. If a 1HMPS game was to be made, what sort of game would you like it to be? Myself, personally, I want it to be an epic RPG-type game where we save the fucking world.
Like a cross between Shenmue and...
Fuck it, let's just have it like Shenmue. That's probably the best example to it, yeah.
Shenmue and... I was trying to think of the Western one. What the fuck is that called? Red Dead Redemption. Well, it's basically like Shenmue anyway.
We'd all have it set the timeline where we're all around Andy's place. It all happens off. We'd just call it GTA Leytonstone. And that sounds good to me. Anyways, let's check out things. I don't think we've had any more iTunes reviews. Come on, guys. We need that one more review to make us number one. And it gets to the point, I don't care who gives it to us. Okie dokie. So like I say, guys, if you like the podcast and things like this, please take 5 minutes, pop to iTunes if you've got yourself an iPod, anything like this, slap a good review on for us so we can become the number one on the iTunes. And then we can sit there and show those little people who I did actually had a small listen to fun thing. And like Andy said, they're boring as fucking hell.
I've never heard them, actually.
Trust me, either do it for a short period or just save yourself the torture on that one. Anyway, big shout outs now going to basically you, my friend, going to myself. Because I love myself really personally. Big shout out to Andy, who's done so much of lately. He's put his body, he's put his mind, he's put his soul through so much to keep us guys running. And as of soon, we will be helping him take the brunt of the work, so we basically don't end up locking him in a mental asylum. And then
do you know what his YouTube channel is?
You know something. I don't, and he's going to kick my ass.
It's the real Locomaniac, 1HMPS, I think.
You think, we're going to die for this.
I'm pretty sure it is.
And anyway, if you're going through mine, look down for mine, ZXBEC Star, Malk 83100 for his, and our other
1996. It's Glenn 83100.
Oh, no. Oh dear, we're all getting wrong then. Of course, Swainy 101. If you look for us, guys.
Yeah, it's Locomaniacs 1HMPS.
Oh, you got it right, did you?
Yes. No, I didn't. I messed it up. I think I said 1H. Oh, it doesn't matter anyway.
It doesn't matter anyway. This is probably going down in the outtake section. Leave which way. And also, big thanks to all you guys joining up. I'd give a shout out to my friend C64 Boy, good friend of mine who's joined the site, and to anybody else who's come along. Like I say, guys. We're doing this because we love what we do here and things like this. We've got more plans for the future coming up. And basically, we're going to try and create more ways for you to participate. I want to give a big thank you to Asperger's Gamer for his videos he's been posting. There's another one of the guys who actually put up there. And guys, if you do create videos on your own sites and things like this, please tell us. We'll look over them. If we like your videos, we'll want to put them on our site as well. If you want us to sit there, like I say, Potty Boy made a fantastic Amiga review on a game title and things like this. So if you check out through on him, and we'd like to have these reviews on our site so we can sit there and we can expand, and so we can encompass all you guys as well. And remember, you don't need to talk as well. You could do written reviews as well. Like I say, so bring
well,
on guys.
You could even use Microsoft voice thing. A lot of people do that. Yeah, so originally, to be fair, if you watch my original videos, I don't say a word because I don't know why. I suppose I'm always self-aware that someone would take the piss out of my accent or something because I ain't got the accent like a lot of people have. Yeah. But then I thought, fuck it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Everyone's got their own voice and everything, so who cares? No one takes a piss.
Yeah, exactly. And for me, myself, I dived in straight on the deep end. I did when I started on my career around here. Anyway, like I say, thank you all, guys.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us. Say goodnight, Malk.
Yeah, goodnight, Malk.
And it's an old joke. Night,
yeah, thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks for listening, guys, and see you all soon. And I'll let you first go.
You cut that bit, Andy. That's what Glenn would say if he was editing it.
But either which way, whether you love Tails or you hate him, then personally, I agree with you, Malk. I can't stand the little...
It's good reason to, you know, support fox hunting.
Oh, I'd have to agree on this one. You just want to grab hold of his tails and say, "Hit there, time and not say there, now fly, you bastard." Autograph thingy, Bob Doodah, what's it? Okay, and that
stop
is
that now,
a yeah. wrap. Okay, where's my Skype gone, the mother... Oh shit, I've lost my Skype. Where's my Skype gone?